Would appreciate your prayers. Like to read in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21 and 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. Verse 23, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This was justice in the Old Testament. If you did something to someone, then you were to receive an equal punishment for your crime, equality under the law. And this type of principle was also adopted by the Greeks and the Romans. According to Adam Clark, most of the civilized countries had a law like this. If an accuser failed in the proof of his accusation, he was to suffer the same punishment that he had hoped to be inflicted on the man whom he falsely accused. Equal justice under the law. Many people today are still living under an Old Testament justice system. If you do something to me, then I do something to you. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I'd like to take a look at the New Testament teaching in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's quite a question, isn't it? I believe it's a very important question. People are pondering a lot of questions today. What does the future hold? What about the injustices in the world today? Many questions that people are worried about, thinking about. But even though this lawyer stood up to tempt the Lord, at least he asked probably the most important question that a person consider. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now among these three, thinkest thou, was a neighbor unto him which fell among the thieves? And he said, He that shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. This man had fallen among thieves, and the question is, what did he really need? I believe he needed mercy very badly. He needed somebody that would have compassion on him. You realize a Samaritan could have said, You knew the road between Jerusalem and Jericho was dangerous. You shouldn't have been traveling this way, certainly not alone. You don't deserve mercy. Your time is out. But he chose instead to have compassion. He chose to be a neighbor. And Jesus used this as an illustration. He could have said, You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. The Jews have treated us so badly. I'm unwilling to stop. I think I'll pass by on the other side. But instead, he stopped and he had compassion. The thing I'd like for you to think about a little bit tonight is there anybody that you've come across and seen them by the roadside? Wounded? Needing mercy? Needing help? Are there any people in our society today that are in this kind of condition? Maybe they are not just victims of other people. Maybe they're victims of their own bad decisions. The question is there anybody in your life that you've come across, that you've noticed, this person needs some help in life? The instruction of Jesus is be a neighbor to that person. Who is my neighbor? Let's turn to Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Who is my neighbor? Well, the man who invited Jesus for a meal was one of the chief of the Pharisees. And it was probably the upper echelon of the religious community of society in Jerusalem that came to this meal. Jesus took note of how they chose the uppermost rooms for themselves. Quite a gathering of people. But Jesus had a lesson for his hosts, and that is when you make a feast, don't just call the rich, your family, but you call the people, and I'm going to put it in my words, that need mercy. People that are needing a neighbor. Perhaps the Pharisee would have been embarrassed to have halt, lamed people coming into his home. People that were not at his same society level. But the instruction is, be a neighbor to other people. And really the question is, what does it take for me to have eternal life? What is important? What's important is that we love our neighbors ourselves, that we reach out to people that are hurting, people that are not in our same social standing perhaps. People that have not had the advantages that we have. Can we reach out to those people and be a neighbor to them too? What if it's a person that lives a despicable lifestyle? A person that's been possessed by unclean spirits? Are any of those folks in our pathway today? Lord, help us that we'll be willing to be a neighbor no matter who it is that we come across. Who is my neighbor, Lord? Well, I'd like to suggest that our neighbor is whoever crosses our path. It is the stranger. It is our enemy. It is whoever we may come across. It is the person that we may have the greatest struggle to try to feel compassion toward that person. The person whose lifestyle really turns us off. That is our neighbor. God help us that we will be a neighbor to people and be willing to do what it takes to have eternal life. What does it mean to be a neighbor? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10. Proverbs 27 and 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off. What is it to be a neighbor to someone? What does it really mean? A neighbor is someone that you can count on in a time of need, somebody nearby. I appreciate having some good neighbors where we live. I value a neighbor, and they can fulfill a place that other people cannot fulfill in life. When you think about a neighbor and the value of it, it's a part of the answer to the question of, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, you be a neighbor to other people. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is a new year. Wouldn't it be a good time to look for people that are hurting? Many times we're very busy in life. Our minds are occupied with a lot of things. But this year, can we take a little time to think, how can I be a neighbor to someone that is needing mercy very badly? Somebody that feels like, I have no friends, my brother is afar off, my father's house. Can I be that neighbor that is nearby? The one who crosses their path, the one that stops and have compassion instead of crossing on the other side of the road? The question is, do I want to inherit eternal life? Lord, help me. Not just to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but to be a neighbor to my fellow man as well. Jesus taught us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful who, when they see the person that has such a great need, stops, takes of their own resources, and helps that person. Because that person, when they get into the same situation, the Lord will send someone who will be a neighbor to them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I was fascinated with the story of Cornelius Vanderbilt. He was born into a poor family in New York in 1794. And Cornelius became one of the richest men in the world, if not the richest. He owned shipping companies. He owned railroads. And he decided to take his family on a steamboat tour of Europe. He was gone for a long time, and he left one of his businesses in control of some associates. And while he was away, Cornelius's associates took control of his business, took it away from Cornelius. He was very angry, and he came back, and he reportedly wrote them this letter. Gentlemen, you have undertaken to cheat me. I won't sue you, for the law is too slow. I'll ruin you. Yours truly, Cornelius Vanderbilt. And that's precisely what Cornelius proceeded to do. He began undermining them with competition to the point that he was driving them into financial ruin, and they finally offered him a very large sum of money just to leave their business alone. You know, the question is not, Lord, what shall I do to increase my financial empire as much as I can? The question is not, Lord, how can I get revenge on my enemies? The question is, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Cornelius had a very miserable end. He had a terrible time as he was approaching the end of life. After the way he had treated people, in spite of all his wealth and everything, He was not a happy man. He missed something very important in life, and that was, what does it take to be a neighbor to his fellow man? I'd like to read in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2, verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights. And none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. What do you think about that? I think that's very commendable. When is the last time that you needed comfort and someone came and they rent their mantle and they sprinkled dust on their head and they sat on the ground with you for 7 days and seven nights without saying a word? That is a remarkable show of respect and support. Well, let's move on to the Job chapter 4 and verse 7. After Job spoke, then one of his comforters began speaking, Job 4 and 7. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish. By the breath of his nostrils, they are consumed. So this man began in his attempt to comfort Job by accusing Job of having done something wrong. Job, this has to be something with you. These men did very well in showing support and comforting, but they did a poor job of diagnosing what the real problem was. In that sense, they were not good neighbors to Job. They wanted to help him, but they were misguided in their diagnosis of the problem. To be a real neighbor to someone, we must have charity. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It is not enough to put in a valiant effort to be a comfort to other people. Like it says in verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It's not enough to put out a valiant effort, but we must be compelled by a heart full of love. It's very important if we want to be a neighbor to someone, to be a true neighbor, to have the proper view of other people. Do you think our attitude toward other people is important? Do you think people can sense the attitude we have toward them? Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2 and 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. What motivated the priest and the Levite to pass on the other side and to ignore the man that was left to die? Was it they didn't want to be defiled by someone that somehow would interfere with their sanctity and being able to do their religious service? Was it that they did not esteem others better than themselves? If we want to be a true neighbor to someone, we need to be willing to get down low and do the servant's duty to serve them in any way that the need is. In his case, he had wounds to be tended to, needed to be bound up. He needed transportation. He needed a place to stay. And whatever it took, look, if there's anything more, here's some money. And if you spend more than that when I'm back, I'll pay that as well. That's a true neighbor, isn't it? Lord, help us to be challenged by that, to be inspired, to be that kind of person to other people that are hurting and need mercy and need help in their lives. The important question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I would like to summarize it like this. Love God and be a neighbor. Lord, help me. I mean, life is so busy. It's so easy to just get focused on the cares of life, to forget about our responsibilities to other people. With it being a new year, it's a real good time to stop and think for a moment. Where is somebody that is lonely? Somebody that maybe is putting on a front, but actually inside is suicidal? Where is a person that everyone else has walked by them and refused to show mercy? You know, there are hurting people out there. There are children that were neglected by their parents, mistreated by their parents, not shown enough love. They've grown up into adults with emotional handicaps. Who did Jesus say to call to our feast? Those that are maimed. Those that are lame. Those that have needs that they cannot fulfill themselves. And Jesus said, reach out to those kinds of people. Who is my neighbor? Is it my enemy? Is it my persecutor? Yes, it is. God help us. Rather than have an attitude of eye for an eye, you hit my eye, I hit yours. Recognize your persecutor has some deep needs. Like Stephen praying, Lord, lay this sin not to their charge. They had great needs. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Was Jesus a neighbor to people? Lord, help us to be a neighbor like you were. Amen.